Today's shiur is Masechta Menachos Daf Lamed Hey. We will begin on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We continue learning about the tefillin. Torah Marketzah Sedron. We know there are four parashas. We discussed that as recently as yesterday. There are four parashas in the tefillin. Kaddishli, V'hoye Kviyach, Shema, and V'hoyim Shemoya. Says the Brisa Ketzah Sedron, what is the proper order of these parashas? Says the Gemara, Kaddish li v'hoi kviyacha mimin, Shema v'hoim shmoya mismol. Kaddish and v'yacha are on the right, and Shema v'hoim shmoya are on the left. Ask the Gemara v'tanya, have we not learned a brisa that says just the opposite? Answers the Gemara, Amar Bai lo kasha. It matters from whose standpoint we're viewing this. Kami minishal kairei, if you look at it from the person who's reading, that means the person facing the person wearing the tefillin. Kami mina shalmaniach, or we look at it from the perspective of the one wearing the tefillin. Kairei, kairei kesidron. So Rashi explains what kairei, kairei kesidron comes to teach us that the proper order is as described in our Gemara, meaning kadesh, going from right to left, kadesh v'hoi kiviyacha, shma, and v'hoim shemoya. Rabbeinu Tam, famous machloikus, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi, and he says that the proper order is kadesh v'hoi kiviyacha, v'hoim shemoya, shma. Machloikus Rishonim, how far this machloikus of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam go? Do they only disagree by the tefillin shel Rosh? Or they disagree by the tefillin shel Yad as well? Furthermore, the Rishonim also debate, are they only arguing in how the tefillin, how the parashiyos are put into the tefillin? But Rabbeinu Tam will agree with Rashi that in terms of writing, we go in the order of the Torah, which would clearly be Kaddish V'ayi Kviyach Shema V'ayim Shmoy, like Rashi. Or does Rabbeinu Tam also disagree with Rashi in the way they're written? They should be written in the same order that they're placed in the tefillin. Most Paiskim say that they're only arguing regarding how they're placed into the tefillin, not how they're actually written. The Mefarshim asked the obvious question. Tefillin, we know, have been worn forever in Klal Yisrael. So how could there be a debate between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam? What is the proper order? Have we not always been wearing tefillin? And indeed, there are many mefarshim that suggest that this machloikis may be going back up to the time when tefillin was given on Har Sinai. Somewhat difficult to understand. Furthermore, the mefarshim point out that maybe, given that tefillin was given already by Har Sinai, and Parsha Shema and V'hoyim Shemoya were only given much later. We know Parsha Shema is in Parsha V'eschanan. Parsha V'hoyim Shemoya is in Parsha Ekev. That could have been the source of this confusion because they weren't that familiar yet with these parashas. The minig of many people, because of this machloikis, is to wear two sets of tefillin. The Rosh already is the one that says one should do so. Interestingly, the Rosh says that not only should somebody wear two pairs of tefillin, but the Rosh says somebody should wear the two pairs at the same time. The reason the Rosh says so is because like that you won't have a question with the bracha. Most paiskim, and that is the minig, even by those who wear two pairs of tefillin, that they don't wear it at the same time. And the reason is because we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, in our perek, that there's an exact spot where the tefillin should be put, on the head, on the hand. And therefore, it's difficult to be certain that you're going to be putting the tefillin in the right place if you have to put on two pairs of tefillin. The Shulchan Aruch says that a Yerushimayim should be careful to wear two pairs of tefillin, a person who's a Yerushimayim, and that's the reason it's the many communities, especially once someone is married, to wear two pairs of tefillin. The Rosh, however, says that a person wearing two pairs of tefillin should not put both pairs in the same bag. because one pair is not really tefillin. Magen Avraham seems to be more lenient if that's what you designated the bag for originally. The Mishnah Brura says that even though we should not put both pairs of tefillin in one bag, to put both bags in the same talus bag without talus is fine. There are those, the Beis Yosef already quotes a smag that wants to bring a raya that Rashi's approach is correct, because he says there was a pair of tefillin found in next to the grave of Yecheskel Hanavi, and when they opened it up, they saw it follows the order of Rashi. Isn't that a clear indication that Rashi's order is correct? The Drisha says that that isn't necessarily raya, because on the contrary, the fact that the tefillin were found buried may be a raya that they were apostle tefillin, because they weren't following the proper order. The Gra did not put on, Chaim V'lozhina asked the Gra, why doesn't he wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? He says, because if we learn our sugyas properly, you'll discover, he says, there are no less than 64 different types of tefillin you would have to wear to cover all the bases. So since he's not prepared to wear 64 pairs of tefillin, he wears the one pair of tefillin that we all know to wear, which is tefillin of Rashi. In fact, Rav Chaim Brisk already discusses that there are really four primary opinions in the Rishonim what the right order is. We quoted the opinion of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but actually there's two more primary opinions, the opinion of the Shimush Rabba and the Ravid. Shimush Rabba follows the same opinion as Rabbeinu Tam, that the correct order is Kaddish V'Yikvecha V'Hoyim Shmaya Shema, but he reverses what Rabbeinu Tam has on the right, he has on the left. What Rabbeinu Tam has on the left, he has on the right. And the Ravid as well follows really Rashi's order, Kaddish V'Yikvecha Shema V'Hoyim Shmaya, but again, he just reverses what should be on the right and what should be on the left. So why, if somebody's makbid to wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, asks Rav Chaim Brisker, aren't people makbid to wear all these other two types of tefillin? So Rav Chaim Brisker says that since the Ravid and the Shimush Rabba are following the same order as Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, they're just reversing where they should be placed in the tefillin, that would not make the tefillin disqualified, and therefore one could wear, by wearing Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, you've also covered Ravid and Shimush Rabba. Furthermore, there's the Paiskim discuss, what is the halacha if somebody, and this invariably happens to anyone who wears a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, that by accident you take out the Rabbeinu Tam tefillin instead of the Rashi tefillin, and you end up making the bracha on the Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, and then you realize that you made a mistake. What should you do? Rav Shlomo Kluger and many Paiskim say, since we hold that the proper tefillin is the Rashi tefillin, so you ended up making the bracha on the wrong tefillin. So you should, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, you should make another bracha on the Rashi tefillin. The Paiskim do seem to hold that in order to avoid any real shaila of a bracha levatala, you shouldn't put on the Rashi tefillin right away. Have a hefsik, have a time in between, then put on the Rashi tefillin and then make a bracha. The Divrei Chaim, in a famous tshuva, vehemently disagrees, and he holds that if a person made a mistake, I even once saw in the Shas of Tshuva Avni Tzedek, that he says that anybody who wears Rabbeinu Tam tefillin is guaranteed that at least once in his life he'll make this mistake, halavai only once, that he should not make a new bracha. In fact, the Paiskim can go on to discuss why is there no issue about Taisif when you put on two pairs of tefillin. So the two primary answers are given. One is, Baltoisa would only be if you added a bias to the tefillin. Here you're not adding a bias to the tefillin, you're just putting on another pair of tefillin. Another explanation is, one pair is right and one pair is nothing. Baltoisa is, you have in mind that both are correct. Here you have in mind the one that's the mitzvah, I'm being mekayim the mitzvah with. The one that's not the mitzvah, I'm not being mekayim with. Furthermore, the Pais can discuss, we're going to learn a mitzvah shema tomorrow, Shir, that when one puts on the tefillin, even between Rashi, between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, he's not allowed to answer even Amen or Kedusha. By the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, when somebody's putting it on, we could be more lenient. One more interesting shaila that I saw the Paiskim discuss. Two more interesting points. One is that the question is, if someone himself doesn't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, could he be the cipher to write Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? And there are many Paiskim that suggest that he can't be the cipher. If you don't believe in it, how could you be the cipher to write Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? The Klausenberger Rebbe in Tshuva and Divrei Yatziv has an interesting approach. He says that the minig by Chassidim is that only when somebody gets married they put on a Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. So when, let's say, you have a person who's not married yet and he's a cipher. So the fact that he's not wearing a Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin is not because he doesn't believe in it. He's just, the minig is only to put him on once you're married. So he says such a person could write Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. A person who doesn't believe in it at all should not write Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. One final point, there's a very famous tshuva, a correspondence between Rav Moshe and the Lubavitcher Rebbe about Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, where the Lubavitcher Rebbe asks Rav Moshe, why doesn't he wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? And Rav Moshe responds that actually in Russia, he did wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, Bli Neder, that he doesn't have to always wear them. And he takes a very interesting approach. He says, Rashi Tefillin, we're going to learn, we're obligated to wear tefillin every day. So of course a person should try to get the nicest type of pair of tefillin that he can. But if he can't, he should do what he can. That isn't an excuse not to wear tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, as we've been learning, is a chumrah. So if you could fulfill it properly, then you should do it. If you can't do the mitzvah 100% properly, you're better off not doing it at all. That's Ramosha's approach. And because of that, Rav Moshe tells the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he wasn't able to find a cipher that would write the tefillin exactly to all of his specifications, the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. And the story goes that the Lubavitcher Rebbe provided Rav Moshe with a cipher that did it exactly as Rav Moshe wanted, and from then on he started wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Continues the Gemara. Aram Chananel Amarav. Hechle Parshiseh Psulis. If you put the parshis in the tefillin in the improper order, it's possible. The way the Bach explains, Rashi, we're not talking about the writing of the tefillin, we're talking about how they're placed in the boxes. Other Mepharshim say we're talking about the actual writing. To which Abaya says, Amar Abaya, Lo Amar El Gvais LeBraisa, Braisa LeGvaisa. But somebody put something that's supposed to be in an outer box inside, or vice versa. Av Gvaisa LeGvaisa, or Braisa LeBraisa, if you mixed up something that's supposed to be in the outside, or something supposed to be in the inside, just put them in the wrong spot, leslamba. Amalei Rava, says Rava Tabaya, Mashna gevaisa lebraisa, braisa legevaisa. Why do you agree that if something is supposed to be outside, you put inside, or vice versa, deloy, that it's not kosher? Because the hachta boyle mechse avira, the tefillin that's supposed to be on the outside, that on one side it's supposed to be ear, lekochazia. Vahide lekoboyle mechse avira. And on the other hand, a bias, a compartment that's supposed to be inside, kachazia, is seeing, by putting it on the outside, one side of it is empty where it's supposed to be full. If that's your concern, says Rava Tabraya, then braisa la braisa, the gevaisa la gevaisa, if you put what's supposed to be inside in the wrong place, or what's supposed to be outside in the wrong place, nami, you have the same concern. Hachta by lemechse avir diyamin, what's supposed to be seen on the right side, kachazi avir the small, ends up seeing the left side. Or the small, and what's supposed to be on the left, kachazi avir the min, ends up being on the right side. Ella, therefore, says Rava Loishna, if the parshias are put in the wrong space, makes no difference where, what, it always is possible. Continues the Gemara. Vamram Chanan Amarav, Titutra the Tefillin. Why is the Titutra? The Tetutra is, according to most Rishonim, that's what we're going to learn, is the base on the bottom of the tefillin, is a halach l'moshe m'Sinai. There is an opinion in the Rishonim that the Tetutra is that you're supposed to have another piece of leather covering the bais. We're not going to learn with that pshat. There's also a very big machloikus Rishonim, Rashi in Tosfos. How is the Tetutra made? Is the tutra made from the same piece of leather? This is Rashi's opinion. Is the tutra made from the same piece of leather as the entire bias? Or is the tutra made from a separate piece of leather, which is Tosfos' opinion? So having this tutra is a halacha mashma Sinai. Amrabaya, mabarta the tefillin. Again, most Rishonim learn mavarta, because we know that there's a place where the strap goes into, on the Bayis Shayar and the Bayis Shalrosh. That is also halacha mashma Sinai. There's another opinion that says that there's supposed to be another strap going over the tefillin. We can learn that pshat. There's a third pshat in the Rishonim that the mabart and the tutra are really one and the same. Furthermore, says Abaya, shin shel tefillin, the shin that we have on the tefillin shel Rosh, are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Machloikus Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos again, the shin is clearly, as our Gemara says, a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. But as we're going to learn, there's a dalid in the back of the tefillin shel Rosh, and there's a yud by the not by the tefillin shel Yad. Are they as well halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Rashi says they are. Tosfos says no, that only the shin is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, not the dalet and the yud. What is so special about the letter shin? I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because shin equals 300, and there are 300 days in the year that a person wears tefillin. Another pshat is that shin ba'at bash is the gematria of the Shem Hashem. How is the shin made? So we know that the shin on the right side of the tefillin, this is our minig, is a three-legged shin. On the tefillin, on the left side, it's a four-legged shin. What's the reason that we don't have the same shin on both sides? So the shin that's in the Sefer Torah is a three-legged shin. The shin that were in the Luchas, where they were engraved, not written, was a four-legged shin. So to represent both types of shin, we have these two types of shin. As I said, our minig, it's all based on Rishonim, is to have one on the right and one on the left. The three-legged on the right, the four-legged on the left. There are Rishonim that hold the other way. And it seems that the opinion of the Paiskim is that as long as you have both types of shin, don't have both the same, just one is on the right and one is on the left, the tefillin are kosher. Another interesting question that the Paiskim discuss is the shin. This is our minig. The way the shin is made is that it's made with a mold pressed into the leather of the bias, and that's how the shin is made. Or there are Paiskim that say that the shin could be just applied on, you have a shin made out of leather, and you could apply it to the bias. Again, our minig is to make it out of a mold. V'tzarech continues the Gemara. V'tzarech she'egiyeh charitz l'mok matfar. Machlokes Rishonim had to learn this Gemara as well. Most Rishonim learn, going back to what we discussed in the previous year, there are four separate compartments to tefillin shel Rosh, and each compartment should be in it all the way to the bottom of the tutra of the bias. There are Rishonim that say we're talking about the shin, and that the shin has to reach all the way to the bottom of the base. Tzarech she'egiyeh charitz l'mok matfar. Rav Dimya me'adamar, kiven the menker. Once you see it, whatever you're talking about, the charitz or the shin, loy tzarech, you don't have to do further. V'amar Abaya, continues the Gemara, hay kilfer the tefillin, the cloth on which the tefillin are written, tzarech l'mivdekei, have to be inspected. The dilma isbe re'yusa, we have to be concerned perhaps there's a crack in them. So what you have to do is inspect them to see that it's free of any cracks. Says Rav Dimi Mehador, Loi Tzarech, it's not necessary to do so, Kumus Abadaklei, because as you write on the cloth, if there's any crack, you'll notice as you're writing. And therefore, that is enough of a bedika. There's a Machloikis Achroinim, how to understand what Kumus Abadaklei means. Some Achroinim explain Kumus Abadaklei means that by writing, you could tell if there's a crack. Other Paiskim say that there may be a crack even if you're using the Kumus, because it may be such a minute crack. But a crack that's so small that isn't discernible when you're writing, is not considered halachically an issue. There's a Gevaldige Kasha from the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi asks, yes, the Gemara is saying that how can you know if there's a crack? Because while you're writing, you'll feel if there's a crack. But he asks, what? There are empty spaces between the letters, between the words, in the letters. So how are you going to know if there's a crack if you don't inspect it? Because you're not writing on those spots. Beis Halevi's kasha. Answers the Beis Halevi, a very bechidish. It's really based on an opinion of Rashi that we've said. Rashi says that the definition of mukav gvil is the letters shouldn't touch. So he says the halacha that the cloth is not allowed to be cracked is only on a spot where there's letters written. Where there are no letters written, there's no problem if the cloth is cracked. Every chiddush. Continues the Gemara. Amar Yitzchak Ritzuas Shchairis, that the Ritzuas should be black, are halach l'moshe m'sinai. Have to be, that's a halach l'moshe m'sinai. Machloikus Rishonim, what does Ritzuas mean? Everybody agrees that, no, the Ritzuas means the Ritzuas. Machloikus Rishonim, what about the bottom? Do the bottom also have to be black, mihalach l'moshe m'sinai? Some Rishonim say that the batim are included in this rule. Others say that the reason we make the batim black are only because of minig of zekeli vavei, which should be nice when it's black, but not that there's a halach l'moshe m'sinai that it should be black. Interesting machloikus between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. What is the halacha if a goy did the painting of the tefillin to make him black? The Shulchan Aruch says l'chatchila vad, it should not be done that way, but b'diev the tefillin are kosher. The Ramah is machmer, says it's not kosher. But there is a shayla in the Paiskim, that even according to the Ramah, it was done by an akum. It's possible, let's say another, you paint it over, a Jew comes and paints over the spot that's black, what will be the halacha? To which many Paiskim say that in that situation, the Ramah would be more lenient. Ritzuah shchayrus are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Ask the Gemara Meisvei, it says in the Braisa, tefillin ain't kosher mosh albaminam. The tefillin should be made purely out of leather. Ben Yerokas, and it could be green, shchayrus black, levonus white. Adumas layasa, but they shouldn't be red. Mnei gnai. Because adumas are particularly not nice. The way the Rishonim explained the gnai, because people will assume that you're bleeding, and that's how it got black, that's how it got red. Or the Dover Acher. The Dover Acher is that perhaps people will accuse you that you had relations with your wife when she was a Nida, and that you got the tefillin red. Amar Yehuda, Ma'is b'talmidah shebekiva, sheyakash tefillah b'lashonah shetcheles, he was tying his tefillin with blue leather straps. V'lo'amaloi Dover, b'kiva didn't say anything. Now, ask the Gemara, Efshur, oish tzadik roa talmidai, b'kiva sees his talmidim acting this way, v'lo'y michaba, and he didn't say anything to him. Amaloi, hen, leroyosai. What must have happened is Rabbi Kiva never saw him. Vimroyosai, had he seen him, loha yimanichai, he would have never let him get away with it. Similarly, says the Gemara, Mais berkonis benosher belezer ben hukonis, shayashakosh tefillah belashonishal argument, he used purple leather, vilamaloi dover. And again, asked the Gemara, Efsha oisat tzadik ro benoi, he sees his son acting this way, vilay michaba, and he didn't say anything to him. Amaloi, hen, that must have been what happened. Leroyosai, he never saw him. Because im royosai, had he seen him acting this way, loha yamanicha, he would have never let him. But gets the Gemara to the point. Ketanimi, the Braisa clearly said, ben yoroikas, ben shchayrus, ben levonos. Any color is acceptable. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. Kamibifnim, the inside part of the, ritzuas could be any color. B'chutz, the outside has to be black. Ask the Gemara, ibibifnim, if we're talking about the inside part, my gnai v'davi ikker, why would there be a problem with red? Answers the Gemara, zimnim skapalim, because sometimes they get accidentally turned around, and if they get accidentally turned around, you'll see the red, and as the Rashba explains, if somebody will see a different color, so they'll say, they got accidentally turned around, no big deal. But, if it's going to be red, so as we said a moment ago, red has its very significant issues. That's why red with more machmer. Interesting, Mr. Brewer says, from here we see that when the halacha is that you have to have black straps, that ritzuas, they have to be black all the way down. Because if they wouldn't have to be black all the way down, they only have to be black, we're going to discuss on Amud Beis what the shear is. So the Gemara could have said a very simple teretz. They're only black until where you have to have them, and the rest is a different color. The fact that the Gemara doesn't say it is a raya that even if you have some ritzuas that are longer than you have to have, they have to be perfectly black. But there's a very big machloikis. The Rambam, and this has become somewhat of a new chumra, people discovered this Rambam, says that the ritzuas l'chatchila should be dyed black on both sides. The Beis Yosef and the Arizal also quotes that opinion. The Beis Yosef disagrees. The Beis Yosef says that our minig is not to dye both sides black. In fact, I saw a tshuva for a Moshe Sternbuch where he quotes that the Brisker Rav was dafka makbid not to dye the other side black. He said, because if the halacha is that it doesn't have to be black, if you dye it black, it's a shayla v'chatzitza, which is a very big chiddush, because it seems from all the paiskim that painting something is not actually considered chatzitza, to the point that I saw a very interesting shayla. Let's say you have a lulav that isn't that nice, because it isn't green. So could you paint your lulav green to make it look nicer? So certainly the paiskim say as follows. If your lulav is too dry, lulav hayavish, that it's possible, you, by painting it, you don't make it kosher. We're talking about a lulav that's kosher, but you want it to be prettier. Furthermore, if somebody who sells lulavim does it in order to fool his customers, that's certainly us, it's ganeiv estas. Question is, did you know your lulav, but you want to make it prettier? Many places can say it would be perhaps be mutter. Because our Gemara is saying that painting is not a chatzitza. Even though we're discussing the other side of the ritzuas, this lachloikis, if you should color it black or not, it seems that the bottom of the ritzu, where it's cut, there it should be l'chatchila black. Continues the Gemara. Tana, tefillin rubos, that the tefillin should be square, are aloch l'mashim Sinai. Most Rishonim say every dimension. The Rambam has a very interesting approach. He says the height of the tefillin don't have to be a square. And that's why we'll notice when you wear tefillin, shel roish, you'll see a niche on the two sides where the mabart is, where the ritzua goes. Why do you have that niche? Because up to there is where it has to be squared. Amra papa, betafron, when you sew them, you have to be careful, as the Gemara will say, not to ruin the square, or balachsonin. We all know that the formula for the diagonal of a square is 1.4 of the sides of the square. It's actually not 1.4, it's really 1.414. That you have to be careful. Also, a very big discussion in the Paiskim is, do you have to keep on examining if the tefillin is square? The Paiskim take a very lenient opinion to that. And they say, as long as the tefillin were made square and they're not noticeably not square, it's good enough. Lema Masayle says, the Gemara, perhaps this b'raisa is a raya about this din, because the b'raisa says, if somebody makes his tefillin round, sakana v'ein by mitzvah. So Gemara learns in the Hav Minutes where the Rishonim explain, because a person is supposed to wear tefillin, and if he doesn't wear tefillin, he's putting himself into sakana, and having round tefillin is as if you're not wearing tefillin. Amra Papa says, Papa, this b'raisa is not a raya, because masnitzin davdikim guza, it's made an oval, and therefore, since it's sort of pointy, if you'll go through and it bangs into your head, you could cause damage. It isn't a raya. Amar Rav Huna, tefillin, kozman shepnei tavla kayomis, the tefillin, as long as the outside backs is whole, they're kosher. Rav Chisda says no. Nifsku shtayim, if two of the inner compartments have a hole, they're still kosher. Sholish, but if three of those compartments have holes, upsulish. Amar Rav, says Rav on this, this is that we said that when there are two holes, it's still kosher. It's only in a situation where Rashi gets two pshat. First we'll learn the first pshat. Well, the two compartments are not next to each other. If the two compartments are next to each other and they have holes, they're possible. Others say, it's, our opinion is a little more lenient. It's not just that the two apartments have to be next to each other, but the two walls have to be two closest walls to each other. el bechadato. Aber tick the lesson lambo. And here too is machlekes v'shoinim. The Gemara is clearly differentiating between new and old. What does the Gemara mean when it differentiates? Some say that by new there's a problem, but by old we can always be lenient. And others say just the opposite. And why? What's pshat in this approach? Because if it's new, that means it was never done right. So we should not, you hear such tefillin. Old ones, the hole developed later, it's fine. Others say just the opposite. By old tefillin, if they start to tear, it's a siman that's going to continue tearing. And that's why we have to be concerned. New tefillin, we don't need to be concerned. If it has a small tear, that's necessarily going to continue. Amar Abayla Rav Yosef, heichidam nichadaton veichidam yatikton. How do we know what's new and how do we know what's old? Amle, kol heichid ki mitle be b'shalcha. Anywhere where you stretch the leather, v'had the cholim, and it comes back, atikta. V'idach, anything else is chadata. V'inami, another way of telling the difference between new and old, kol heichid ki mitle be b'masna asya besrei chadata, v'idach atikta. Rashi explains as follows. If you have a strap and there are two people pulling at the strap and it doesn't rip, it's just pliable still, that's new. If it rips, it's old. Says the Gemara. Abaye Avi Yosef Kamed Rav Yosef. Abaye was sitting in front of Kamed Rav Yosef. Isle Ritzur de Tefila. The Ritzur of the Tefillin got torn. Omle Mao Le Mikdre. What is the halacha? Can I just make a knot to repair the Ritzur? Omle v'ksharten k'siv sh'tei k'shiratama. And if you have to make a new knot, it's not kosher. Most Rishonim say it doesn't make a difference where on the Ritzur this rip happens. But there are Rishonim that say that's only if it's the Ritzur that's on the head that gets ripped where we have to be concerned. If the Ritzur that's hanging down, we need not be concerned. Omle rav achabred rav yosel rav ashi mao l'mitfrei. What about not making a knot, but sewing it up where it got ripped, v'ayla l'tfira l'gav, and that the stitching shouldn't be noticeable? Omar, so he responded, puk chazi my amadover. Let's see what everybody does. So big machloikus, Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand. In other words, the Gemara is saying, look what the world does. But the Gemara doesn't say, does that mean l'kula l'chumra? So Rashi says, it means l'chumra. Nobody wears tefillin that the ritzuas are sewn together, and therefore it's possible. Rabbeinu Tam says, you could be mekel. I saw a discussion in the Mefarshim. Does the halacha depend on what people do? So from here we see that what people do is a factor in our decisions. It's a factor in our decision. I saw, that's what it says in Pirkei Avos, Eizu derech shiyiv loy adam, kol shetferes loy seha, betferes loy mina adam. If people think what you're doing is right, it must be right. That's why Ach Rabim Lahatis, we follow the Rav, and that's why we follow Minig Yisrael Torah. It's all based on the same concept that if people are doing something and people are thinking a certain way, there must be something involved. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rapapa, Gedumet Ritzuas. If the Ritzuas get ripped and you have some left, it's Ksheris. However, says the Gemara, V'lam Nisihi. It's incorrect. Midam Ibn Reb Chia, Gedume Tcheles, Tzitzis, we're going to discuss this. If the Tzitzis rip, but you have some of it left over, or Gedume Ezef, the Torah tells us that part of the Tahara process of a Mitzayra is that they have to dip a Gudas Ezef, a bundle of grass, into the Dam and the Mayim and to sprinkle on him. There, if something is left over, it's still Ksherim. Why? Hosom the Tashmishi Nitzanenu. Those are only Tashmishi Mitzvah. That's why we could be more lenient. Avl Hocha, the Tashmishi Kedushinenu. Here they're actually Kedusha, they're Tfilin, Loi. So the Mefarshim explain. By Tashmishi Mitzvah, the reason that they have to be whole is because they're Keli Vanveyu. It's only because it's a Hidda Mitzvah. So as long as you started with the right amount, even if it got ripped, you haven't violated Zekeli Vanveyu. Whereas over here, by the tefillin, it's not just because Zekeli Vanveyu. That's the way the tefillin have to be. And if you don't have the right amount, it's possible. So now, says the Gemara, Michlal, if we're discussing that if they rip, they're not kosher, obviously, it's Lishura. They must have a shear. Ask the Gemara, "Kama shurayu? How long must they be?" Amar Rama b'chama Amar Reish Lakish. And here too, there's a very big machlokes how to learn this Gemara. Ad etz betzreida, until the finger. Machlokes if it's the index finger or the middle finger. Rav Kahana machi kafuf. Rav Kahana showed where they're separated. Rav Achi machi poshet. And Rashi showed when they're not separated. So I learned the Gemara that the shear of the Ritzuas we're talking about is the Tefillin Shel Rosh. How long must those Ritzuas be? But many Rishonim, and this is our minig, don't learn the Gemara regarding the Tefillin Shel Rosh. The Tefillin Shel Rosh, they say that one should go up to the navel, and the other one should go up to the Makom Hamila. Others say one should go to the Makom Halev, till where the heart is. They have to be much longer. Here we're talking about the Tefillin Shel Yad. How long do you have to have Ritzuas? And the Gemara is saying they have to go down because after we put them on the, after we put it on the biceps, you have to have enough Ritzuas to go all the way down. In fact, there's a minig in many communities. Some communities make a shin on the top, right below the bias. Some communities make a shin on the hand. You have to have enough Ritzuas to make that shin too. Rava katalhu pashit v'shadilhu. Rava would put them on and put them down. Rav Achba Yaakov katalhu matlslhu. He would tie them. Ma b'reid ravina ovik didon. He acted like we did. Amar Yehuda b'reid of Shmuel b'sheilus mishmei the Rav kesher tefillin haloch l'moshe m'sinai. The kesher that you have in the back of the tefillin that has to be. So again, this way Rashi learns that you have to have a dalid on the back. The two minhagim, how that dalet is made. Is it a double dalet or is it a single dalet? Is it halacha l'moshe misinai? I saw a beautiful vart. Shelis stands for Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. What is the kesher shel tefillin? What is the purpose of wearing tefillin? Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. The person should always realize that he's standing in front of Hashem. Amar Rav Nachman v'noveim lebar. The black side, the shem, the black side, should always be towards the outside. Rav Ashi have Yosef Kameda Mazitra. Is hapchle ritzu the tefillin? The tzua of the tefillin turned around. Amalei leisav lamar v'neveim labar. Don't you agree that the black side should be the visible side? Amalei lavda detoy. I didn't realize what happened. Says the Gemara. Tefillin Shel Rosh, so Rashi says because they have the shin and the dalet on the Tefillin Shel Rosh, so they represent that. Others say because it has the shin, going back to Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos I quoted earlier. Others explain because the tefillin are on the head, which is the most prominent part of the body. El Tefillin Shel Rosh. There's a lot to say here. Why, by wearing tefillin, does a person have that the world is scared of him? So some explain that a person wearing tefillin has in himself the required madrega of Yerushalayim, and a person who comes to Yerushalayim has nothing to worry about from anybody. It's just we have to come to that Yerushalayim. But there's a beautiful story from the Baal Tanya. The authorities wanted to arrest Baal Tanya once. And they came to his home, and they opened the door, and he was sitting by the table wearing his tefillin. As soon as they saw him wearing his tefillin, they ran away. They said, this is a holy man. So the chassidim asked him, why, when you wear tefillin, does everybody get scared? And the rest of the world doesn't necessarily get frightened from a Jew wearing tefillin. So he says, you have to look in the words of Al Gemara, he asked. The Gemara says, Eila tefillin Sheberosh. The wording is incorrect. It should have said El Tefillin Al Harosh. He says, if you wear the tefillin and Sheberosh, the message of the tefillin penetrates Birosh, goes into your head, that's such a person of a Roma Mecha, that they're scared of you. But if you just wear the tefillin and the lesson of the tefillin doesn't get penetrated into you, then they're meaningless. Continues the Gemara. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he wanted to see him. So Moshe, Hashem said, "V'hasiroisi eskapi v'roisi esacharei." Amrav Chana Bebizna Amrav Shimon Chassidi Balam Sherla Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe Kesher Shel Tefillin Kaviyochla Kodesh Baruch Hu Shel Moshe Rabbeinu His Kesher of Tefillin Amrav Yehuda, to which Rabbi Yehuda says Kesher Shel Tefillin Tzarech Shehei Lamala. The Kesher Tefillin has to be on the top of the head Kadesh Yisrael Lamala V'loy Lamata. The Tzarech Shehei Klap Bottom has to be facing parallel to the face Kadesh Yisrael Lefnim V'loy Lacha. They should be front, not back. The famous verse from the Chassam Sofer, which means like this: we see many times in life that things are difficult and we don't understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. Says the Gemara, at the end, all of the ways of Hashem become very clear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means. So the Mefarshim also say, if here we see that when we wear tefillin, what we accomplish, we also know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, it also causes that all the goyim should be concerned and not start up with Klal Yisrael.